Thank you all. Please take your seats as time is rushing. So welcome back. There are a lot of parallel sessions going on. A number of us have been at the session just one floor above us. So please sit down and let's begin. We are on agenda item 11 in our GAC agenda, which is the meeting with the GNSO. So welcome to all the people from the GNSO to join us here. We would have a thousand things to discuss. We have 1 hour, so let's try and make the best out of it. Let me hand over the floor to Jonathan to say a few words. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. So my name's Jonathan Robinson. You know that because we met earlier in my capacity as chair of the CWG stewardship. I'm chair of the GNSO Council, and I'm joined on my left here by David Cake, vice chair of the GNSO Council, and Mason Cole, GNSO liaison to the GAC. So we have a small agenda here that we discussed prior to coming to Buenos Aires. This is an opportunity to just spend these next 45 minutes with you, having a brief review of some key items here. And I think let me hand straight over perhaps to Manal, who we've worked with on the GAC GNSO consultation group, to give you a brief update, and then we'll come back to the points under number two. So thanks for having us, and we look forward to talking with you over the next few minutes.
Thank you, Jonathan, and I'll try to be brief, but we always have new GAC members, so allow me very quickly to mention that the objective of the GAC GNSO consultation group is to explore mechanisms to facilitate early GAC engagement in GNSO policy development process. The work has been divided into two tracks, day-to-day communication and PDP. We used to meet bi-weekly, intersessionally, but during this past intersessional period, the consultation group met less regularly at the beginning, and then we had to pause our meetings to accommodate for other pressing and intensive processes going on, namely the IANA transition and the ICANN accountability. But meanwhile, the consultation group agreed to put the adopted mechanisms into practice. So we have the GNSO liaison to the GAC, Mason Cole, and also we have agreed to have a GAC quick look mechanism that would look into issues and flag early whether it has a public policy aspect that the GAC would like to submit comments on. And I also believe there are now more frequent, I think, conference calls and meetings between both constituencies, leadership groups, which I'm sure implies also a closer coordination among both secretariats. Having said that, I would like also to highlight that the consultation group is yet to consider a range of possible initiatives that include other opportunities for early engagement in the GNSO PDP beyond the issue scoping phase. Also possible procedures for cases where the GAC early input is in conflict with the GNSO views. And finally, success criteria for the GAC early engagement in the GNSO issue scoping phase. So this is where the current work stands. Finally, it's worth flagging that the one-year approval of the pilot mechanism of having a GNSO liaison to the GAC is coming to an end this June. And I'm sure GAC colleagues agree with me that this pilot has been very useful, but did not take its time yet, so maybe we can agree to have a one-year extension. I'll hand it back to you, Thomas. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Manal. With regard to the GNSO liaison, this is something that was new. It has been new to us, and of course we'll make a thorough review process to assess this. Now, what I can say, we haven't had the time to discuss this in detail because of other issues that are taking up a lot of our time. But I personally, and I think, I hadn't had any signal from anybody in the GAC that this was not useful. So I would say that we would agree to and be happy to continue for another year with this and try even to make more use of it. And once the transition is done and we will have more time to go into other substantive issues, of course, that will be something that will be very useful. So thank you. We're happy to accept.
Okay, so thank you, Manal and Thomas. So just let me help a little bit further with some detail on that. Well, I suppose first just taking a big step back and recognizing that the work of this GAC GNSO consultation group is addressing recommendations that came out of the ATRT reviews of ICANN as a whole, and recognizing that actually the GAC and we and the community at large would benefit substantially from early involvement of the GAC in the PDP process. And so really we must remind ourselves that that's where all of this comes from. And we together, the GNSO and the GAC, have taken the initiative and worked with colleagues such as Manal and others in the GAC to develop these mechanisms. Many of them are very early. We haven't had a chance to develop them properly, and they certainly haven't seen a full cycle of a PDP in place. So I think, you know, in broad terms, we should be evaluating these, and Mason just reminds me, and we should be thinking around maybe having gone through something like 3 PDP cycles to have a real feel for where they are. As far as the specific mechanism of the GNSO liaison to the GAC, we took the preemptive measure of applying for the funding prior to this financial year, which commences around now, for a further year of funding for the pilot. And so just for the avoidance of doubt, there is no pay for this position. It simply funds the basic ICANN travel expenses so that the liaison can be present at the ICANN meetings and use that to facilitate the liaison mechanism. And we have that funding approved. In addition, we have a motion for the council meeting on Wednesday to approve, in fact, Mason as the occupant of that role, and he is willing to serve, and we have a motion to adopt at the meeting on Wednesday in order to do that. So we would strongly encourage you and appreciate if you would receive this gesture as part of the broader GAC GNSO consultation group outputs, and look forward to obviously working with you through those over the next year. I wonder if we should pause at this point before. Well, maybe let's do the status, the second bullet point, because this all relates to the work of the GAC GNSO consultation group. And then before we update you on any current and upcoming policy issues, we'll take a pause for questions in and around this general topic. So for that second bullet point, let me hand over now to Mason to talk about the status of the early engagement, if there is anything more to add.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Good afternoon, everyone. It's good to be back with you. Just to add to what Manal provided in terms of an update, just allow me to give you a bit of an update on how we're implementing the early engagement procedure. Excuse me. So as Manal mentioned, the Council and the GAC have agreed to implement this consultation group recommendation in relation to issue scoping. We did that after our last meeting of the consultation group. So the issue scoping recommendations, what they do is provide it's a recommendation. The issue scoping recommendations prescribe how the GAC is informed when a request for an issues report is made. And an issues report is the first step in a GNSO policy development process. So once that is received, then the GAC has sufficient time to provide any information that they have in relation to existing GAC advice on the topic, which at that point is expected to be included in the preliminary issue report. So if there's standing GAC advice, then the GNSO policy team is advised of that, and that GAC advice is included as an element of the issue report so that the GNSO is informed about whether or not the GAC has a standing position on that issue. So following the publication then of that issue report, the GAC is again notified, and at that point the GAC is to provide its input through what's called a quick look mechanism. And that quick look mechanism informs the GNSO on whether or not that issue is expected to have public policy implications. And that in turn informs the GNSO Council on whether or not that issue is going to be of particular interest to the GAC. And then as well as allows the GAC then to start its own internal process on devising input to the GNSO. So this process now, I'm pleased to tell you, has been initiated for the first PDP since the consultation group finalized this quick look procedure. And this is on the board-initiated PDP for an issue report on the purpose of GTLD registration data. Excuse me. And I notified the GAC of this request for the preliminary issue report and was provided by the GAC secretariat with a reply that, in fact, this issue had been put into the GAC's work stream. Now, the issue report should be published shortly. In fact, ICANN policy staff let us know that it'll be published very soon after Buenos Aires. So I encourage you to anticipate that because it'll be coming very shortly. So now the consultation group is going to consider other phases of the policy development process to find out whether there are additional mechanisms or measures that can be explored in relation to GAC providing advice or input to the GNSO on other phases of the PDP. So, Jonathan, would you like me to stop there? That seems to be a good spot.
Thank you, Mason. So, Thomas, if there are any questions or issues arising at this point, I think we should take that input at this stage. If not, we can continue through the agenda.
Yes, thank you. So, in addition to generally say everything that helps improve communication at an early stage is something that the GAC has always supported and will continue to support. That includes the GNSO liaison, that also includes the quick look mechanism that we've decided as something that we're looking forward to use. So let me give the floor to the GAC to ask questions, make comments, if you have any right now. Yes, UK.
Yes, thank you, Chair, and thank you, Jonathan and Mason. The only point I would underline that a sort of nil return at the quick look mechanism phase does not preclude the GAC taking another position subsequently once the policy starts to develop in the GNSO. I'd just to underline that point in case there was any concern that's the one and only opportunity, if you like. Thanks.
Thank you very much, UK. That in fact is correct. It doesn't preclude the GAC from contributing to PDP work later on in the process.
Thank you for this clarification. Other questions or comments? If that is not the case, then I think we can move on.
Okay, so our next item then is to give a brief update on current and upcoming policy issues, just to make sure we have alerted you to the current landscape. And for that, I'll pass you back to Mason.
Thank you very much again. there are a number of issues that are coming before the GNSO that I thought I would highlight for the purpose of the GAC. Some of these may or may not have public policy implications. They may or may not be of particular interest to the GAC, but the GAC will certainly be alerted to all these in due course. There are policy development activities regarding the purpose of GTLD registration data, regarding potential subsequent rounds of new GTLDs, and there is an upcoming review of all rights protection mechanisms in both legacy TLDs and new GTLDs. And that particular matter of policy was agreed to as an element of the current round of new GTLDs. So with regard to current activities, I'd like to mention two. These will be up for a vote during the meeting, during the GNSO's meeting on Wednesday. There is a final recommendation report on what we call policy and implementation, which is a way for the GNSO to better describe for itself and for the community what, in fact, is a matter of policy and then what is a matter of implementation of that policy, so as to avoid confusion between the two. And then there is also a PDP on the translation and transliteration final report, which actually has had, from what I understand, some active contributions from GAC members. So those are items on the agenda for us, either coming up or here in Buenos Aires this week.
Thanks, Mason. And on that former one, the policy implementation, a key outcome of implementing the largest program that ICANN's almost certainly ever implemented, which is the rollout of the new GTLDs, what became apparent was that there were many areas that needed more detail, and in fact the GAC has been involved in many of those. And what the GNSO has worked on through this working group is some other mechanisms to be able to that don't override existing mechanisms but complement existing mechanisms in the same way as we've tried to work with you in through areas such as the consultation group to further enhance the way in which we work and provide advice on matters of policy to the board and so on. So that's a very productive piece of work that should further lubricate and make more effective the way in which we work. So the next item is item three, and this is something else. It's another initiative that we'd like to share with you and discuss a mechanism by which we think we may be able to further enhance the way in which we work together. And for that, I'm going to hand over to David Cake on my left.
Before I do that, I'd just like to... That we just talked about the policy and implementation working group. While that's an internal, about to our policy... process. I have noted over that the GAC is sometimes a little frustrated with the way the PDP can, make the GNSO a bit less agile in responding to GAC advice. And I think this will some of these new mechanisms will alleviate some of those frustrations in the future. Though, of course, we'd rather that the GAC is early integrated in our PDP and all goes smoothly in the first place. What I'm going to talk about this new initiative for the GNSO, it's fairly simple. We are intending to issue as a council response to the GAC communique. This will be... I want to stress this is an informal mechanism. It will simply be a letter to the board. So it's the form of a letter from the council to the board. The specific primary purpose of this will be to inform the board's response. When the GAC communique touches on issues that are also of interest to the GNSO, we will clarify the GNSO position. If the GAC mentions an area of policy, we may mention a GNSO policy initiative that's ongoing at the same time, clarify what process it is, and opportunities for incorporating GAC advice. We may also talk about existing GNSO consensus policy in the area, or we may clarify GNSO processes if that is occasionally GAC communique does discuss directly GNSO processes as well as just policy. When I stress it's an informal mechanism, so it changes nothing in the formal relationship. Here it's designed so that when the board does... board is sometimes placed in the position of having to sort of integrate the different policy advice from the GNSO and the GAC, and we would just... it's to make sure they are fully informed when they do so. It's purely supplementary, so existing processes, it changes nothing. It simply means that, you know, the GNSO were giving a little additional small a advice to the board. Of course, though, we expect that the GAC, we will CC the GAC in any correspondence. We're expecting that the GAC members will read it and it will help inform the debate between, or not the debate, the help understand the relationship between the policy, the various policy development processes that are ongoing. It's intended to reflect policy positions of the GNSO, and particularly the including but not limited to existing consensus policy. So we'll also talk about, you know, if we're only partway through a policy process, it will let you know where we are. Or if we have chosen not to consider an issue or various other things. And it will talk about the council's... it's intended basically the council's role as the manager of GTLD policy. It is not intended to reflect all of the opinions of the GNSO. The GNSO, of course, is a very disparate body with many different stakeholder groups that have their own specific opinions. So we were not trying to tell you, this is what the whole of the GNSO tells you, or this is what the council, in its role as manager of GNSO policy, feels that the board needs to know. We do not intend to comment on the GAC communique when it does not concern GTLD policy. So it's simply a new mechanism. We're trialling it to see if it's useful, but it did come as a suggestion from the board. We want the board to have to not to be put in the position of speculating about what the GSO position is, but to have to be clearly informed. And we hope that it will in fact be useful to the GAC as well to simply have clarified the GNSO. Where the GNSO and GAC positions overlap. So I said it's a lightweight, informal mechanism. We hope that it will aid communication generally and be directly, specifically to the board, but also the GAC in understanding their how the GNSO fits into the various issues where the GAC and GNSO interests overlap. We put a bit into thought into how we're doing it, but we have not yet done it. We will be interested to hear opinions and how well we do it once we have responded to the GAC communique.
Thank you. Maybe this is a moment to ask questions or make comments from the GAC on this new initiative that is coming from the GNSO. Case you have any. Yes, United States.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you again to our colleagues from the GNSO. I think we've all been challenged recently. I'm speaking also as a member of the GNSO Joint Working Group, but we've all been challenged with other work and enormous workloads. But I think this is a useful reminder of how constructive this joint exercise has been, and I'm grateful to hear about your latest initiative. I think that will go a long way toward improving understanding and facilitating communication. But I also thought it was a great opportunity to draw the GAC's attention back to the conversation we had just before the break, and we were talking in the context of developing our views on the transition proposals and the accountability proposals. We were talking about sort of what is the role of the GAC, and I think this exercise helps refresh memories that we are intended, at least we think from my country's perspective, to provide public policy advice on the matters that are pending before the ICANN community, the ICANN board, related to the management of the domain name system. And the concrete examples you're giving us of issues, reports, and specific projects that are under consideration, that gives us quite a useful roadmap to remind ourselves as to what our role is. So thank you again.
Thank you, United States. Other comments or questions on agenda item 3? Yes, UK.
Thank you, Chair. And yeah, I'm simply to say I think this is a very valuable initiative that's going to serve those objectives you've recounted of enhancing communication and understanding of where the GNSO positions itself on issues that the GAC is already engaged on. So support, yes, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If there are no other
positive comments. Thank you for your positive comments.
If there are no other comments or questions, then I think we can use the remaining time, which is about 20 minutes, on an exchange on IANA stewardship transition and or enhancing ICANN accountability.
Thomas, let me make a couple of initial remarks and then see where that goes. We've clearly had we have a motion for our meeting on Wednesday, which seeks to approve the transmission of the CWG final report to the ICG. We've had some discussion about the content of that motion and how that motion is best phrased and structured. There have been a number of discussions over the past few days, looking into some details of the proposal, but whilst there is refinement of the detail in the motion, in general there seems to be no significant concerns at this stage emerging on the intention to vote to support that motion. The way in which it works is this will be discussed in detail during the so-called constituency day or constituency and stakeholder group day on Tuesday in the different groups, and those groups will then make their decisions and bring those back to the GNSO Council on Wednesday. And we have a specific meeting available, a meeting slot available on Tuesday evening at the end of the constituency day in order to discuss any, if there are contentious views that need to be dealt with or concerns over specific motions. So we have a sort of mechanic to get through this, and we've had the preliminary discussions over our weekend session. And I think that captures where we are at the moment. And if there's anything we can help with, if you'd like to know and understand any more about the processes or any elements of the discussion, or share with us any thoughts you've had from your morning's discussions on this, we'd welcome that.
Thank you. So you've just given us some information about how you deal with the proposal that is coming out of the CWG. We'll probably also be interested to see how you deal with the CCWG work at the stage where it is. But I see there are some requests for the floor to react to this. So I see Iran, you would like to say something.
Thank you, Jonathan. I understood that your proposal was ready to be sent to ICG, but you wait until you receive responses from the chartering organization. You said that you want to send it on Thursday to the ICG, but before receiving any reply from the chartering organizations and attaching that, I don't know, the most important element is how you draft the part relating to reply that you receive from chartering organization, depending on the nature of their comments. So I think your main job will be after you're receiving the comments, not before that. Thank you.
So perhaps I should just respond and make very clear. I mean, it could be, I mean, first of all, I'm sitting in front of you as both the chair of that group that drafted that proposal, and therefore, or the co-chair, and therefore that that final proposal is put to the chartering organizations. One of those chartering organizations is the GNSO, and the GNSO will review that, but the way in which the GNSO reviews that for the purposes of voting on the motion is to delegate that out into the constituencies and stakeholder groups on Tuesday, and then bring that back to the GNSO Council on Wednesday, and I happen to be chair of the GNSO Council, so therefore, you know, that's... So apologies for any confusion, but because I have those two roles, that may be, maybe I created some confusion there.
Thank you, and I just wanted to make this clear. This is the exchange with the GNSO, so we should look at Jonathan as the chair of the GNSO this time, unlike this morning and unlike Wednesday, where we have another Jonathan looking quite similarly, but being like the chair, co-chair of the other group. Maybe something that may be of interest for us, when you say you vote, how does this go? Will there be a voting that internally in the different sub-constituencies and then that will be somehow aggregated in the council? What if there are disagreeing elements, and how do you concretely do that? So how do you deal with dissenting opinions on all levels? That may be something that would be of interest for us.
Well, the way the council deals with formal business is formal business is put to the council in the form of a motion, and then those motions are voted on by the councillors, and those councillors represent the stakeholder groups or constituencies of the GNSO and will typically, although not always, be directed by their groups as to how they should vote. In any event, whether or not they decide of their own accord how to vote, or they are directed by their stakeholder groups and constituencies how to vote, they will vote. And then there are various voting thresholds and mechanisms by which the resolution, the motion, will be passed or not. Now, clearly, thinking from my point of view as a CWG co-chair, I would like that to be a unanimous passing of the vote. But of course, that's not the only basis on which the motion will be passed and that the report will be transmitted on to the ICG. Clearly, if there's insufficient support, it is possible that we wouldn't pass that threshold, but I'm hopeful that that's not likely to be the case.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Iran.
Thank you, Chairman. What you explained to us, Jonathan, is your internal procedure. So has nothing applied to the GAC and so on for this voting. This is your purely internal procedure. Thank you.
Thank you, Iran. And that's actually an important point. I mean, there are, I think it's five chartering organizations of the CWG. How each chartering organization decides to approve or support that CWG report is up to them. Whether they vote or have some a mechanism of humming or no such mechanism, it doesn't matter. I described to you, as you correctly said, the GNSO mechanism, but that's not applicable to any other chartering organization, SO or AC, who's dealing with this report.
Thank you for this clarification. I just thought it would be interesting to hear that, because we had a session with the ESSAC where we also got to know on how they work and how they take decisions or make recommendations or give advice. So that's just to also complete the picture. We have 15 minutes, 14 minutes left. Maybe we would want to have an exchange on the accountability aspects of the work, as you may have had in your part of the ICANN world, different or not different, similar reflections while looking at the work as it is ongoing, and it may be useful to share a little bit the reflections that are going on in the GAC with the reflections that are going on in the GNSO. So I'll just take the floor. Whoever wants to ask or say something, I have the Netherlands. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Just one thing which would be interesting to know is whether you, because we have, of course, we have the CWG and we have the CCWG, two proposals, two tracks. Formally, you only have to approve or support the CWG proposal. But still, in the GAC, we have a discussion about, let's say, the conditionality, the requisites which are put out or worked out in the CCWG proposal. So my question is, will you just formally endorse one proposal, or will you also couple this to conditions? Thank you.
That's a very good question. And so at this meeting in Buenos Aires, we will vote on the determine whether or not to approve the transmission of the CWG proposal onto the ICG. At the meeting in Dublin, we anticipate that we will have a similar motion to deal with the work of the accountability group. And I would expect that in dealing with the work of the accountability group, we will seek to communicate with the CWG to satisfy ourselves that their conditions have been met by that then final report of the accountability group. So that in the end, we will have voted on and approved the transmission, ideally, of the CWG report to the ICG, and moreover, on the CCWG report on accountability. And when we vote on that CCWG report on accountability, we will have a knowledge as to whether or not the CWG is satisfied that its conditions have been met. And therefore, the two come together at that point and are transmitted as both stewardship proposal and accountability proposals coupled for the NTIA to have that package that we will have voted on both on by then.
It's also, of course, that's not the end of the accountability group's work. That's a work stream one. The accountability group will continue with work stream two.
Thank you. Other questions or remarks? I have you, Ron.
Thank you, Jonathan. Could you kindly clarify whether this week, when you vote on the CWG report, do you envisage that, or you have any intention to also having some or requiring some clarification? I know your other hats, that being chairman of CWG, put it aside for the time being, and be just as far as the GNSO is concerned. Do you intend that you say, okay, we agree with that, for instance, with the conditions, however, there are following questions or following clarification required, or you do not see to have any room to ask any clarification or anything? Just a question to help us. Thank you.
I suppose the honest answer is that I can't be sure, but I think it will be cleanest if it will be a simpler... I mean, I could let you... There is no reason... I mean, it's public and readily available what the motion before the council is, and that's why I referred to that motion, because there is some work in progress, and it is normal for us to do this. There's a motion on the table. It was submitted in good time and in good order to approve the CWG proposal, but that motion can be modified by amendments over the next 2 or 3 days, and there is the opportunity in that motion to either perhaps emphasize elements of the report or highlight areas of work that will need to be completed during the implementation. But if I wear the different hat, I mean, I guess my ideal from a CWG chair's perspective is that to the extent that work needs to be done, it is highlighted as necessary to be done as part of the implementation of the work, so that we don't get into a complicated variation of the proposal. I mean, from a CWG chair's point of view, the ideal is that the chartering organisations support the proposal and perhaps recognise or emphasise that certain areas will need further work as part of the implementation as they travel down the track towards finalisation. Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions, comments? Yes, Egypt.
Just very quickly to follow on the answer, your last answer, Jonathan. So the accountability part of the CWG proposal is going to be emphasized as part of the implementation, or is it going to be conditioned somehow? Or thank you.
Thank you. Egypt Manal, the way in which that the CWG proposal is written in such a way that it says it is expressly conditioned and reliant on certain accountability mechanisms being produced by the CCWG. So if we vote, and when we vote on Wednesday to approve that proposal, we are voting to approve a proposal with conditions in it. And those conditions will then be worked on and ideally met by the work of the accountability group as they conduct their next 3 months' work. And I have this picture which I described to you this morning where it's like two trains running on a parallel track, and then for a moment the signal is here, then they go, the one goes off on a separate track, but then they come together again and they must be delivered simultaneously at the end, but the one goes briefly off on a separate track as it goes through the ICG process, but then they come together again for delivery to the NTIA. So, yeah. So we as the GNSO, I don't expect that we would seek to add further conditionality in. That conditionality has already been thoroughly thought about and prepared and built into the CWG proposal. And as GNSO, to the extent that that's what we would like to achieve, we've achieved that through our members and participants in the CWG.
Thank you. Other comments, questions? If that is not the case, I think that we have a 5 minutes break for us all, which I guess nobody would have a problem with. So in that case, thank you very much. We may meet again rather soon. So have a nice evening. And we make a 5 minutes break. We'll start with agenda item 12 at 5 sharp. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.